When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today, Hyundai slashes Ioniq 5 prices, US EV sales are up, and Tesla expands the supercharger network. And if you stay tuned later in the show, I'll tell you how many EVs are going to be on Ireland's roads, hitting government targets months early. Well, no EV news China today, as it's the weekend, so let's get into the news. Hyundai cut the US prices for the Ioniq 5 yesterday, an average drop of $9,155. That's the average drop. Some specs got an even bigger, almost 10K reduction. The SEL rear-wheel drive and all-wheel drive trims down $9,800. And the standard range rear-wheel drive now starts at $35,000. That's down from $42,500. Huge price drop, $35,000 for an Ioniq 5. Which is massive. Now, obviously, we know it's the loss of the federal tax credit is causing these offers for car companies to want to stay competitive. Ioniq 5 is Hyundai's best-selling EV, one of the more widely purchased EVs in the US. Certain trim levels deliver over 300 miles or almost 500 kilometers of range. The vehicle is one of the faster charging EVs as well. 800-volt EGMP architecture, 18 minutes in ideal circumstances, 10 to 80. It's huge. Hyundai's also adopted the Tesla-style charging plug, J3400, access to Tesla superchargers. Hyundai previously supported Ioniq 5's competitiveness with lease deals and discounts. Now, the federal tax credit is gone, and the automaker said that the model year 2025 Ioniq 5s will still get That's $7,500 off as well. By lowering the 2026 model year cars whilst continuing incentives for existing lots, sort of dealer stock, Hyundai is positioning the IONIQ 5 as a very competitive choice whichever model year you go for. And think about that. Big family car, 3 meter wheelbase. That's not an SUV crossover shape, but it does sit up a little bit, and it's got access to Tesla superchargers. Day 3400 on the side. Big range, enormously fast charging. $35,000 vehicle starting price base trim. I mean, yeah, give me some of that. Now, let's talk about some of the sales numbers. We'll come back to Hyundai, by the way, on some sales figures, but let's talk about how the US is doing. All the Q3 numbers are in the books now, and I can tell you Ford had its strongest third quarter EV sales performance. From July to September, Mustang Mach-E led Ford's EV lineup, followed by the F-150 Lightning. In the United States, from July to September, Ford sold 20,177 Mustang Mach-Es. That's up 30% on the same period last year. The model's best quarter since 2020. The F-150 Lightning delivered 10,005 pickups in Q3. That is a 40% year-over-year increase. The model's best third quarter ever, and according to Ford, it keeps it as America's best-selling electric pickup truck, which is surely a bloody nose once again for Tesla and Cybertruck fans. Now, the e-Transit was the only kind of blot, really, in their copybook. The EV declined in Q3, the commercial vehicle, including hybrids, plug-in hybrids, and all electric. Ford sold 85,789 electrified vehicles. Now, GM also doing really well. GM US sales in Q3 up 8% versus the same time last year. Gains in both electric and combustion. GM set a Q3 US EV sales record with 66,501. Year to date, US EV sales, deliveries, I should say, 144,668. That's up 105% from the Q3 last year. Customers, of course, using the federal tax credit and bringing forward sales. The Chevy Equinox is the top-selling non-Tesla in the United States. In the luxury EV segment, Cadillac places three models in the top 10 bestsellers. That's Lyriq, Optiq, and Vistiq. Through the first three quarters, GM's US sales are up 10% now. That's one of their best sales increases in a decade. And they're in a really strong position as we go electric in the US. The Equinox is the top-selling non-Tesla, as I say. GM sold over 25,000 Equinoxes in the third quarter of the year. Year-to-date Equinox sales in the United States, 53,000. The first 9 months of the year. GM markets the SUV, the Equinox, as America's most affordable 315-mile range EV. A specific claim, but one which they can win with at starting price again under $35,000. Cox Automotive says Equinox EV had the lowest average transaction price in the top-selling EV segment. The $7,500 federal tax credit expired 4 days ago now. GM is extending the benefit, though, through a program run by GM Financial with Chevy, GMC, and Cadillac dealers. They did this with the IRS's consultation and approval. There's no kind of dodgy dealings here. But General Motors purchased dealer stock and bought those cars back off the dealers. And now the dealers can continue advertising those vehicles to customers with the $7,500 off because of the so-called lease loophole. And that's not going to be easy to find, those deals. It's not like you can go to one central website and it'll say, right, the Equinox is this price. So I think all the dealers took part, or rather, there's going to be a lot of dealer stock that'll be affected by this, but it does sound like a trawl. So either a trawl through specific dealers or a trawl through car websites and marketplaces to find that new Equinox stock or all that new GM EV stock. Ford did it as well, by the way. Totally above board. IRS approval on this. Buying the cars back off the dealers that had bought the cars from them. And it's not actually the car companies. It's their financial arms, and how arm's length those financial businesses are. It differs, but still, not technically GM buying the vehicles back from the dealers that bought them in the first place. But it's a bit of GM. Now, Hyundai, I said we'd come back to them. Hyundai Motor America reported September, not Q3, September total sales of 71,000 units, 14% up. That's all vehicles. It's a September sales record, though, so it's worth mentioning. Hyundai on a rip right now in the United States. Ioniq 5 also set a September sales record. EV sales up 153% compared to the same month last year. But that's not surprising, is it? Because of the tax credit going. But you can't really argue with Hyundai's electrification strategy. Could they be doing any more as an offshored company? Not one of the big Detroit companies, not making vehicles for a long time in the US in terms of still, relatively new to making vehicles on US soil in the grand scheme of US automakers, of course. And so I think really impressive and a feat not really achieved, well, not at all, actually, by Kia and Genesis, their stable mates. And so Hyundai retail sales up 7% year over year, electrified vehicles, 40% of Hyundai's business in the US. Ioniq 5, crucial vehicle for them. The company said that these records reflect its focus on its long-term EV strategy. Hyundai feels like they're not wavering, and they have had some management, either the calls or the presentations where they've made more overtures towards hybridization and less being all in on full electric. But I think from the public perception, those things are really for markets and for investors and stuff like that. I think from the public perception, Hyundai seems fully behind going electric, which is kind of more than perhaps some of the other car makers that have wavered a little bit, that have said some more negative things about EVs with the reduction of the elimination of the tax credit. And so I think Hyundai are playing it pretty smart in the US and seem to be benefiting. Your Volkswagen having a really great Q3 as well, thanks to the ID4 and the ID Buzz. ID4's Q3 sales up 176% compared to last year. ID Buzz wasn't on the US market in the same quarter last year, but doing really well. ID4 sold 12,500 units in Q3. ID4 continues to be a really good vehicle, by the way, and a little bit overlooked, I think, in places. Total sales for the first 9 months of the year, 22,125. ID Buzz also doing really well, or 2,500 units in the quarter. Those two electric models were 17% of Volkswagen's total US sales, by the way. Looking at the third quarter results across automakers, that is one of the largest year-over-year EV sales increases by any particular brand. Kia's EV3 doing really well too, but that's a global number I'm going to give you now. EV3 just passed 75,000 global sales this year in 2025. I'm delighted because the Kia EV3 for 2025 is my pick of the bunch. When people say to me, what car should I buy? And I always say, you've got to at least have a look at Tesla. And if you have strong feelings about the associations that driving that car and, the associations with an outspoken, politically active CEO, if that bothers you or that affects your buying decision, then, many people it doesn't. Some people it does. And so if that doesn't bother you, you've got to look at a Tesla because that's a benchmark in so many ways. Otherwise, I say, look at the Kia EV3. It's the perfect, if you're buying one EV in 2025, not too big, not too small, not too expensive, but not bargain basement where you feel like, now this isn't great. Choice of battery sizes, choice of trims. It's a fantastic vehicle. I think it's a great size. I used to say to people, before I got into EVs, but they knew I was into cars, I'd be like, look at the Volkswagen Golf, because the Golf will do everything. It'll take you away for a family holiday, and it'll give you some smiles when you're on your own driving a little bit quicker. And so that for me now is the EV3. I think it's got so much going for it. And globally, well, the sales numbers are backing that up. Always nice when I pick a winner. Doesn't always happen, by the way, but I'll take the win. A year later than the car, after a year of the car going on sale, the EV3 is in Europe, the UK, Australia, other markets as well. Top-selling vehicle for them in the UK and South Korea in the first half of the year. At the end of August, it was 73,500 worldwide. And so now, yeah, we officially know it's over 75,000. So we can work out the growth rate is pretty good on that. And of course, Kia have great vehicles coming. EV4, EV5, that commercial vehicle, PV5, which they're going to bring in a multitude of formats, whether it's MPV, whether it's work van, whether it is for those with accessibility needs. They talked really at length about that as well, which just filled me with hope that they know what they're doing with that. So that's brilliant. EV3 will come to the US 2026. Launch date, well, I don't think that's been shared. So, a very affordable car here in the UK and across Europe as well. About 33,000 pounds. So you are getting it. It's well below our luxury car tax threshold, but equally a little more premium if it's the one car on your driveway. 58 or 81.5 kilowatt hour pack. WLTP, 375 miles of range. Really affordable vehicle. Tesla's supercharger network is up next in the news, opening 4,000 new supercharger stalls worldwide in Q3 2025. Arguably, the supercharger network is still one of the best things that Tesla does. I'd argue the software is just about the best in the business as well. And the Model Y, too. Nothing wrong with the Model 3, but that Model Y does suit so many people. But the supercharger network, no one else is doing that and putting their hand in their own pocket and building a network like this. 4,000 stalls in Q3 alone added. The largest single quarter increase. Global supercharger network grew 18% year over year. Q3 included Tesla's first 500 kilowatt DC fast charging station, so full V4. So the V4 dispensers, the new tall ones with long cables, and the V4 cabinets that sit out the back and do the heavy lifting. Does it matter? Not really, let's be honest. But it's a great headline. Will it make your car charge faster? Well, at the minute, non-Teslas can't charge on it. It's only one site in California, and it only really affects the Cybertruck on a high voltage platform. And even then, I think it takes seconds off a charge because it hits a peak of 480, 490 kilowatts, and then really immediately ramps down to, well, V3 speeds or V3.5 because they managed to eke a bit more out of the V3 supercharger stations. And so cool that it's there. Yeah, it's outdone by the Chinese quite significantly, but still very cool. And, you know, when they open that up to third-party cars, so other 800-volt platforms, because these are 1,000-volt dispensers, and then, you know, Lucid Gravity 900-volt system. Well, now you're talking. That'll be very, very interesting to see. Supercharging demand has risen. Tesla reporting 54 million charging sessions in Q3, up 31% year over year as they open up the network to more and more vehicles. They say they've saved 222 million gallons of gasoline in the quarter. Not bad, eh? Shanghai's Tesla factory as well, making some nice quality of life improvements to the Model 3. The front bumper camera, long shown in the original renders and things like that, but not always showing up on the cars, is now appearing on the refreshed Model 3, built at Giga Shanghai. They now ship those units with the forward-facing bumper camera, good for low-speed maneuvers and some extra autonomy features. The updated cars also have the return of the signal stalk. I think we can chalk that experiment off to nice to give it a try. Not the end of the world because you get used to signaling with the buttons, but ultimately a bit of a stupid thing to do because it's the stalks are a solved problem. And you know, lots of people have tried it. Ferrari have buttons on the steering wheel to go left, you know, signal left and right. So yeah, Tesla's in good company trying it, but for the sake of, what, 75 cents, $1.50, you know, what are they paying wholesale on millions of stalks a year? Okay, didn't really need to be done. And certainly put us off the vehicle because my wife's not a driver. So, and yes, she'd get used to it. But when you're exiting a roundabout, and we've got tons of roundabouts here, and you're trying to think, like, where's the button? And you want to signal your intention to leave the roundabout. You have to, and you want to. I think you get used to it. Obviously, it wouldn't have been a problem. Millions of people are fine with it, probably, or you know, thousands at least. But she would have. She was like, no, thank you. I just want to get used to new ways of driving. She's not a driver's driver. A car for her is a place to get somewhere, And it's the destination, not the drive. Whereas, yeah, I'm the opposite. For me, it's the drive. Quite happily go out for a drive and see, you know, see the sights. And so that just ruled cars out for us, ruled Teslas out, at least newer ones without stalks. And so, you know, did other people have the same conversation? I don't know, but I'm delighted to see it go back. The bumper camera plays a key role in Tesla vision for full self-driving. There is a visibility gap. When, you know, the ultrasonic parking sensors, when they get removed, again, tiny cost, isn't it? And, you know, I still think that the perfect spec Model 3 is it around 2022, 2023? The battery got a little bit bigger. It still had the ultrasonics. And there's some cars made in like a 3 or 6 month period that have got the new compute, the new hardware, a bigger pack. It's the rear wheel drive version. Had the ultrasonics. That is kind of the ideal spec. 22, 23, a couple of years ago, wasn't it? I think when they got rid of those. And so for me, that would be the perfect Model 3, at least for us. When I buy used cars as well, so it really would be. Those changes coming, we think, to the Model 3s in North America and Europe, well, it has to be soon, right? Retrofits are being offered as well for the indicator stalks coming back. But we'll wait and see when it shows up out of China. We'll take a break. We'll come back and lots more to talk about. Stick around.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Welcome back to the podcast. Firefly is an entry-level sub-brand of NIO, the Chinese EV maker. One of those has been seen in the UK, right-hand drive near their engineering facility outside Oxford. A video on LinkedIn on Wednesday showed that the Firefly hatchback with right-hand drive steering driving around Oxfordshire. The UK team focuses on advanced concept and performance engineering, apparently. The right-hand drive layout is interesting for the UK, massive EV market in Europe, but also, obviously, Singapore, Hong Kong, Australia, New Zealand. NIO co-founder and president, Shin Lee Hong, said in April that Singapore would be among the first destinations to get right-hand drive Fireflies. They've obtained the approvals needed in Australia, so that's interesting. The approval followed comments from the boss of NIO that the company was preparing to go to Australia and New Zealand in the very near future. Firefly sub-brand is in Europe, by the way. They started deliveries on the mainland in August. Left-hand drive, of course. Netherlands, Norway, Belgium, Greece, Portugal, I think, are going to be next. Nissan got some good news with Electrify America, adding plug and charge on Nissan EVs, beginning with the Nissan Leaf 2026 model year. Plug and charge is really important. It uses vehicle-to-grid communication based on a standard ISO 15118, allowing the vehicle to authenticate and do payment with the charger without you needing to stand in the rain and trying your credit card multiple times. Why is it card readers on EV charging stations never blinking work? You go to the supermarket, you buy your shopping. I've never had one go, you know, refuse to authenticate, tap your card again. Like, the shops managed to do it. Why are EV charging stations so bad at organising payment? Is it just that the authentication with the car? Is it that many of them do a pre-billing of 20, 30 quid, whatever? I don't know. It's always amused me. Not amusing when you're standing in the rain and you can't start a charge, which is why I use the Octopus Electroverse app all the time. Yes, a plug for one of our sponsors. Electrify America says it was the first public EV charging network to offer plug and charge back in 2020, but it's been a slow rollout. This is a solvable problem. No, this is a solved problem, everybody. Come on. Plug and charge should be standard. Shouldn't even be talking about it now. We should just buy an EV and expect to plug it into every charger, and it should just work. This is not anything that needs solving. Now, it's done. Fixed. Sort it, car makers, please. And charging hardware providers. Right, let's move on. E.ON is testing a reservation platform for electric truck charging stations that let users plan charging stops and book charging points in advance, beginning with individual locations. The company's already installed several charging parks for truck parking spaces with MAN. The E.ON experience indicates that beyond the mere availability of charging infrastructure, planning and reliability of charging stops is central. Yeah, I think if you work in logistics, not that I ever have, so I won't pretend to be an expert, your charging stops can be somewhat more predictable in terms of scheduling. You can obviously, you know, with this system, book them before you start driving or even during your route, either by the driver or by your dispatch team or your head of logistics. A web app is used to select the planned start time for charging, and it applies a tolerance of 15 minutes either way. You tend to know where your vehicles are going to be at what time. There's strict driver rules over here as well in terms of your downtime, and so you tend to know with a little more certainty where your vehicles are going to be. So maybe booking would work better than with just, you know, domestic cars and things like that. The charging station is blocked exclusively during the reservation window, only available to the person who made the reservation. This works in places around the world, by the way. I still struggle with EV reservations because I'm so used to just turning up to an EV charging station, and if it's vacant or there's a plug, plugging in. Places around the world do have booking systems, and they seem to work. The pilot will roll out at selected locations to begin with, and they're making adjustments before a broader rollout. And finally, Ireland reached their 2025 target already. The target for this year was 195,000 EVs on the road. The goal was part of the Irish government's Climate Action Plan, which commits to having 30% of the national vehicle fleet be electric by 2030. Figures released by the SIMI, Society of Irish Motor Industry, show 196,000 EVs circulating on Irish roads as of the end of September. So the yearly goal has been hit already. Over the first 9 months of this year, another 22,500 new EVs registered in Ireland. And if you are looking forward to, or you are looking to update yourself on the Irish EV market, then you have to check out Nevo EV review, which is, well, I think they've hit over 50,000. Derek's hit over 50,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel. He's at motor shows. They do live streams. They do car reviews, all from an Irish perspective as well. But all the cars that he's looking at are, you know, it's not like niche stuff. It's just the general cars that are on sale, sometimes a little bit later in the Irish market, sometimes earlier than others. But still, a great YouTube channel, should be on your subscription list. And that's your podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you for supporting on the Patreon platform, which is how I earn a living these days, particularly to our premium partners of the show, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one, see you tomorrow, and remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.